Right. Would you go ahead and turn in your scriptures to two locations, Exodus chapter 12 and 2 Samuel chapter 6. Exodus chapter 12 and 2 Samuel chapter 6. In Exodus chapter 12, verse 41, it says this: "It came to pass at the end of 430 years, even the selfsame day, it came to pass that all," and here's what I want us to pay attention to, "all the hosts of the Lord." We think of hosts now as somebody who greets guests when they come, but it had a different meaning then, and that's what we're going to look at today. "All the hosts," these are the Israelites, God's people, but they're called hosts, "that all the hosts of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt." Then in 2 Samuel chapter 6 and verse 2, it said, "And David arose and went with all the people that were before him from Baal of Judah to bring up from thence the ark of God." Now listen, "God, whose name is called by the name of," say it with me, "Lord of hosts, Lord of hosts, that dwelleth between the wings of the cherubims." The name we're going to look at this Sunday morning is Jehovah Sabaoth. Jehovah Sabaoth. Jehovah. Now we must make a note here, though it's similar, looks similar, sounds similar, this is not Sabbath, like the seventh day, not the Lord of the Sabbath. There's another indication later. This is Jehovah Sabaoth. Amen. Knowing God through his names. Father, we open our hearts to you. And the hearts that aren't open, Lord, we pray that your spirit would open them. Lord, we want to see you, Lord. We want to hear your voice. Lord, open my understanding. Lord, beyond the study, open my understanding, Lord, that the spotlight could be upon you and who you are. Lord, we worship you. We lift our hands and our hearts. May there be an anointing here where needs are met even through the preaching of the word. Even before our season of prayer, that the need would already be met. We serve a mighty God. Lord, impress yourself upon us this morning. Anoint me with your spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. There's a friend of mine who's way up in years now, but he's a tremendous preacher. I remember sitting in Bible school, and he'd preach for 2 hours, and you'd just be mesmerized. But about 20 years ago, he came by, and he preached, and he preached on the coming of the Lord from Revelation. And he's a very graph. He can just draw a picture with his words. And he had the stars falling out of heaven, and the sun turning like blood, or the moon like blood, and the sun being darkened, and meteorites, you know, flashing across the sky and plummeting into the sea and earth, and the angel armies and the demonic armies and the armies of men had them all. Then he had the white horse of Jesus Christ and all the armies of heaven following Jesus as Jesus came again. It's a tremendous message. And there was a sister that hadn't been long with us, and after service she met me right back in the back by the sound room, and she said, "Pastor, wow." She said, "That was like Star Wars." First Order, New Republic, Resistance, Stormtroopers, Lightsaber. I didn't watch it. That was Wikipedia. Actually, I don't really understand all the hoopla. People getting so in, and let me explain before you turn me off. People getting so into the fantasy of Star Wars when the Bible shares with us a much more fascinating story of armies on earth and armies in the heaven, armies visible and armies invisible. Throughout the universe, it shows us that there is a colossal war taking place. Amen. The only thing difference is with the Bible's portrayal, it's not fantasy, it's not science fiction, it is reality. And I want to preach this morning that right now in people's hearts, in homes, in our nation, on our planet, and throughout the universe, there is an intense, fierce battle between the seen and the unseen, between good and evil, between dark and light, and it is a battle for the souls of men and humanity. I want to tell you that battle is being waged this morning. Even in this building, there is that battle going on. But I'm also going to tell you that leading the armies of good, leading the armies of light, leading the armies of righteousness is the mightiest of commanders. And his name is Jehovah Sabaoth. He is in front. He is leading. Oh, there can be one conclusion. Victory ahead. Oh, come on, church. I'm talking about Jehovah Sabaoth. Amen. As we've been doing, I want us to look at the setting of the name. I chose a particular scripture from Samuel. And you know the story, or perhaps you don't, but David is bringing, brother, just a little more on these monitors. David was bringing the ark back to Israel, back to Jerusalem. And it makes a statement there in that verse. It says that the God of whom this ark was built for, his name was called the Lord of Hosts. That ark had these angels with wings outstretched. And he says here that the one who dwelt between those wings of those cherubims, his name was the Lord of Hosts. That reveals the name of that presence, the name of that God that dwelt in that tabernacle as they not only were in wilderness but moved into the promised land. And you say, why is all this important? Why is it important to know that there was a presence between the wings of the cherubim and that the name of that presence was Jehovah Sabaoth? Why is that important? Well, you got to go to something that you might want to just gloss over or not think about. You got to go to the arrangement of the camp of Israel. I alluded to it last week, but when they were in the wilderness, you have 12 tribes, but they were arranged, 3 tribes on the north, 3 tribes on the south, 3 tribes on the east, 3 tribes on the west, millions of people, but every tent of that camp was facing the center of the camp. And in the center of the camp was a huge tent, was a tabernacle. Now, before we talk about that, you got to understand that in that time period, and many centuries even after that, when you had a camp of tents such as this, if you went to the center of the camp, whose tent was there? It was the tent of the king. It was the tent of the leader. It was the tent of the general of generals. That's whose tent was there. But Brother Brock, if you went to Israel's camp, it wasn't Moses' tent that was in the middle, in the center. It wasn't Aaron's tent that was in the center. It wasn't even Joshua, the general's tent, who was in the center. Whose tent was in the center? Well, look there above it. There is a cloud by day and fire by night, pointing into the innermost chamber of that tabernacle to say that between the wings of those cherubim, upon the mercy seat of that Ark of Covenant, was the Shekinah presence and glory of God Himself. Listen, Brother Richie, being in the center of the tent or in the center of the camp, that meant not Moses, not Aaron, not Joshua was the ultimate leader. That meant that God was the king. God was the leader. God was the mighty general, Jehovah Sabaoth. Therefore, even that old pagan prophet Balaam, he man brought up on the mountaintop to prophesy against Israel. He told Balak, the pagan king, I can't prophesy against him. And as Balaam looked over that arrangement of the camp of Israel and saw that cloud of God's glory, he knew whose tent was in the center of the camp. Have you ever wondered what Balaam said in Numbers 23? He looked at that camp and he said, he hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither hath he seen perverseness in Israel. The Lord his God is with him, and the shout of a king is among them. Wait a minute. Moses isn't a king. No, sir. Aaron's not a king. No, sir. Joshua's not a king. What was the shout of the king? It was Jehovah Sabaoth. It was the presence of the Lord. Even Balak, the Balaam the pagan prophet, he realized that it was God that was leading his people. Oh, hallelujah. This is the setting. This is what it's all about. This name. But I want us to know this morning that like Israel, the people of God, then we gathered here this morning. We are not a flash mob. I said, we're not a flash mob. We're not a social gathering. We are the people of God. We are not wandering aimlessly through a wilderness. We have not been left on our own to find and fight our own way. No, just like then, if we will but look in the center of the camp, in the center of our worship, in the center of our affection, we will hear the shout of the King. He is Jehovah Sabaoth. I said, He's Jehovah, hallelujah, the Lord of hosts. What I'm preaching is, listen this morning, whatever your predicament, whatever trouble you're having personally, whatever it's like in your home, if we're the people of God, somebody's in charge. Somebody's in control. Somebody's leading the way. Oh, hallelujah, somebody's a commander. Let me tell you who, Jehovah Sabaoth. The Lord of hosts. Let's look at the significance of his name. Amen. Jehovah Sabaoth. Sabaoth is used 484 times in the Bible. It's used to refer to multitudes of people that make up an army, that make up a group of worshipers or followers or servants. In other words, a host, a Sabaoth, is a multitude that is gathered to fight or to serve. I thought it was interesting. Sabaoth, a host of people to fight or to serve. I thought it was interesting in our own language. Brother Brock was in World War II. And perhaps not he, but other World War II saw action. But notice what we say. He fought in World War II. And in the next breath, we'll say what? He served in World War II. A host, a Sabaoth, is a group of people whose purpose is to fight and it's to serve. I want you to know we serve the Lord when we fight our enemy. And when we fight our enemy, we serve the Lord. I want to talk to us a moment as a gathering here. The very word church, ecclesia, means the called out ones. We've been called to a gathering of people, a multitude brought together. We are then a host. You may not have used the terminology this morning, but look around. This is a host. This is a Sabaoth. Amen. We have been called together as a multitude to worship, to serve, and to fight. Hallelujah. Therefore, you put the names together. Jehovah Sabaoth or Sabaoth. It means the Lord of the armies, the Lord over the powers. In 1 Samuel, David said to old Goliath, that Philistine, he said to him, we could quote it from time we were kids. He said, Goliath, you come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of what? The Lord of hosts. You know what Goliath heard? I come to you in the name of Jehovah Sabaoth. Oh, I'm not here in this valley on my own. I'm not fighting the battle on my own. I just didn't come out here on my own whim. I'm following the Lord of hosts. Jehovah Sabaoth. Amen. Later, the psalmist said, who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Amen. In Psalm 46, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. You put the two words together, Jehovah Sabaoth, and it was used 260 times in the Old Testament as the commander who has taken control, taken command of the multitude. You begin to look through the Old Testament. Samuel's mother used this word, Jehovah Sabaoth, when she prayed. Samuel used it. David used it. Elijah used this name, Jehovah Sabaoth. Elisha used it. Nathan, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Micah, Naaman, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, all use this name, Jehovah Sabaoth. I want you to notice as I went through the list, there's a whole lot of prophets that use this name. Even Isaiah and Jeremiah both use this name between 60 and 70 times apiece. Haggai used it 13 times. Amen. Zechariah used it 54 times, or 56 times. And Malachi used it 24 times. They kept talking about Jehovah Sabaoth. Amen. What were they talking about? They were talking about a coming judgment. And they were also talking about a coming restoration. But they said the one that's coming to judge the enemies of God's people, and the one that's coming to restore God's people, his name is Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. What were they saying? Amen. Pagan kingdoms seem to be prospering. God's people seem to be in decline, seem to be decimated. But the prophet said, I'll tell you who's still in charge. It's Jehovah Sabaoth. And one day the pagans will be destroyed, and God's people will know restoration and blessing. He is both the God who judges and rewards. He blesses and he punishes, because he is Jehovah Sabaoth. You say, Pastor, that's the Old Testament. Is the Lord of hosts in the New Testament? Amen. Paul in Romans chapter 9 and says, as Isaiah said before, except the Lord Sabaoth had left us a seed, we had been as Sodom and be made like unto Gomorrah. Amen. James says, behold, the hire of the laborers which have reaped down your fields, which is you kept back by fraud. They cry, and the cries of them which are reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of the Sabaoth. I'm glad he's not only in charge and command, I'm glad his ears are open to the cries of his people. Oh, come on, church, anyone here? I said he's in charge, but he's listening to. His ears are open to. Amen. Amen. So here we have all through Scripture, Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. But here's the question. He's the Lord of the host, but who are the host? Who are they? What are they? I'm going to take a moment to answer that question. Amen. First of all, the host are the heavenly bodies of our universe. They are the stars and the planets and the roaming travelers of our universe. In the beginning of your Bibles, Genesis chapter 1, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. Amen. Verse 17, and God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. Chapter 2, verse 1, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and what? And the host of them, those stars, those planets, those meteorites, those comets are the host of heaven. I've got a question. Is God in control of the stars? Is he in control of the planets? Is he in control of the meteors? Is he? Amen. Did you know if you went out somewhere like Utah away from cities with the naked eye, you could see 9,000 stars? Wow. Did you know if you brought along a good pair of binoculars, you could see 200,000 stars? Did you know if you got just a cheap telescope, just a cheap one, you could see up to 15 million stars. In our galaxy, anybody know what it's called? Not Snickers, but God. In our galaxy, listen, 400 billion stars in our galaxy. Can you get wrapped around that? 400, I don't know if I can count that high. In one galaxy. But did you know, by conservative estimate, scientists estimate that there are 170 billion galaxies And he's in control of all that. A safe estimate. Amen. Amen. Young people, you'd be willing to help me? If you want to know how big that is, how many stars are there in the universe? I'm one. Okay? No, you be one. You stand up. You're one. That's what 24 zeros after. Would you help me just illustrate? Just stand up. One, two. Come on, stand up on the count. Three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23. Need one more. 24. That many zeros. Thank you. You know, I want to tell you something. That's even bigger than our national debt. That's huge. Brother Brock, is God in control of all of those? Let's ask the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 4. Lift up your eyes on high. Naked eye, binoculars, telescope. Behold, who hath created these things? Who brings out the what? The host by number. He calleth them all by names, by name, by the greatness of his might. For he is strong in power, and not one of them faileth. Have you ever wondered about what that one, not one of them faileth is? Hallelujah. I don't know if he's had to do it every night. But you know what that means? He knows them all by name. And so he starts calling their name. Amen. I realize I just can't, on the moment, I can't think of the name of any star. Someone tell me one. Polaris. Polaris, shine. And Polaris shines. He goes through the one with 24 zeros. That 24 is an that's the exponent. You understand? He goes through the name of every star and tells every star. He calls their name and says, shine. I'm not going to have you shine. You can stand, but you can't shine. He calls this one's name. He says, shine, 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 shine. And not one of them failed. You know what that means? Not a one of those stars refuses his command to shine its light. I said, he is the Lord of hosts. I said, he is the Lord of hosts. I said, he is the Lord of hosts. Hallelujah. It gets better than that. Amen. I want you to think of something. When the enemies attacked God's people, the scripture said God set in motion the heavenly host against them. Judges chapter 5, it says they fought from heaven. The stars in their courses fought against Caesarea. Think about that, Brother Bill. Amen. God's people were in a physical battle, and it said somehow God used the stars against their enemies because he is the Lord of the host of heaven. I don't know how he did it that day, but I know on one occasion how he did it. How many remembers a time when Joshua and the people of God were fighting the enemy of God and daylight was running out and victory was almost there? They needed more daylight. The scripture says, and Joshua commanded the sun, requested the sun to stand still, and God fulfilled that request, and the sun stayed still and the moon stayed until the people had avenged their enemies. Science, try that. Amen. Try to cause the sun to stop. Amen. Here's Hezekiah the king. Very few people. The army's weak. He gets a letter from King Sennacherib of the Assyrians. That letter says, we're going to destroy you. We're going to stomp you, grind you under our feet. There won't be a one of you left. Amen. Ezekiel took that letter and he spread it out before God. He said, God, you can read like I can. Look what Sennacherib says he's going to do to us. In fact, his armies are already gathered all around us. Oh God, we need your help. He laid that letter before the Lord. The Bible said somehow he went to sleep, and when he woke up, he got the report that during the night, one angel was dispatched from heaven. I said, God sent one angel and destroyed, killed 185,000 Assyrians. Oh, hallelujah. And Jesus could have called 10,000 angels. What are you talking about? I said, he's the Lord of the host. He's the Lord of heaven. Hallelujah. And all that's within it. Amen. I got the wrong story. Some of you caught that. I got two things going in my mind at once. Even that
happen. But what I wanted you to point out was another time of Hezekiah. Amen. That's when, amen, he was sick. Amen. Can you back that digital thing up? Can you bring the string back for a minute? Roll the string. No, I'm talking about the stream that went out on the internet. Bring it back a minute. I had two stories about Hezekiah, and I got the wrong one right now. Hezekiah needed a sign that God was going to give him healing. And he was asked, what do you want? You want the sun to go forward 10 degrees or backward? Well, that might be just a mess up of some phenomena if it went forward. So he asked that it would go backwards. And sure enough, they watched the sundial. And guess what? Guess what? Guess what? The sun went backwards 10 degrees. Now tell me he's not the Lord of hosts. Tell me he's not in control of the heavenly bodies. Oh, come on. Someone say amen. He's in control. What are these hosts? These hosts are the animals of the world. Amen. Did you know he's in control of the animals? Amen. Amen. The ark is built. Amen. God gave a command. And those animals went two by two onto the ark. Because he is the Lord of the host of the animals. He can send a swarm of locusts or flies or fleas, and he did that on Egypt. He can cause a donkey to talk. Did you know he did that? That was with Balaam. Amen. He can shut the mouths of lions. That was with Daniel. He can cause a whale to swallow a man and regurgitate him. That was with Jonah. He can cause a worm to find one specific vine and gnaw it until it was withered and falls down. That was with Jonah. Amen. He can put a coin in a fish's mouth and cause that fish to bite a particular man's hook. He did that with Peter. He can instruct a lion to lay down with the lamb and to leave the lamb alone. And he will do that. He is the Lord of the host of animals. Who are these hosts? Amen. We'll get to that other story of Hezekiah here. But these hosts are the angels of heaven. 1 Kings chapter 22, he said, "Hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the host of heaven standing by him on his right hand, left hand." Psalms 103, "Bless the Lord, ye his angels." Who are these angels? Verse 21, "Bless ye the Lord, all ye his host, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure." I've already kind of rent the point in my haste. But if you please hear me for just a moment, we will be blessed. God has all these angels round about him. He's in control. But how does he dispatch them? He commands them to send them to help us. Did you know that? We have forgotten that. God is in command of the angels, and he sends them to help us. In the book of Hebrews, speaking of the angels, it says, "Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be the heirs of salvation?" Are there any heirs of salvation here? Let me see your hand. Okay, five or six. Amen. I'm switching to John 3:16 here. Amen. Any heirs of salvation? Amen. What does he do? He's in control of the host of angels, and he dispatches them upon our behalf to minister for us. You never heard it before. Amen. But there is Ezekiel surrounded by the Assyrians. He prays, and God sends one angel and destroys 185,000 Assyrians. I'm telling you what, if one angel can do that, I said, if one angel, how many angels does he need to help you? How many angels does he need to help me? You say, "I'm not Hezekiah." No, sir. Amen. Maybe not. But I just read that he has sent forth his angels to minister to them that are the heirs of salvation. You didn't just realize who was helping you fight your fight. You knew things were bad, but you didn't know how many God had dispatched from heaven to fight your fight. He is the Jehovah Sabaoth. Amen. The commander of the angels of heaven. Amen. If that didn't light your fire, let me give you one more illustration. Once again, the city is encircled. Elisha is upon the walls with his servant. The servant's knees are knocking. He's sweating. He's afraid because everywhere surrounding that city is is the enemy encamped. There's chariots and spears and swords. Even they've come to destroy that city. Even in there, the servant is full of fear. But listen to what it says. Amen. Elisha answered, "Fear not." Come on now. Been a long time since we've been over this one. He said to that servant, "Fear not." Why? Come on, read it with me. Read it with me. "For they that be with us are more than they that be with them." The servant looked around, did some counting. He said, "There's only a few hundred here. I could look and the hills are filled with thousands and thousands of the enemy." Elisha said, "Now wait a minute. You're going to need some help seeing this. You're going to need your glasses cleaned off." And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and beyond the enemy, up in the mountains, it was full of horses and chariots. "They that be with us are more than that." Oh, you've seen the enemy that surrounds you. Amen. You've counted the enemy. You've got lots of problems. You've got lots of trouble. But I tell you, let God open your eyes this morning. You'd come to the conclusion, there are more that be with us than that be with them. No wonder we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Would you like to praise him this morning? Hallelujah. The host, our stars, the host, our animals, the host, our angels of heaven, the host, our demonic hordes. I'm going to tell you, certainly, listen, as certainly as there are real angels, there are real demons, evil spirits, unclean spirits. They wreak much havoc and do much harm. A lot of what you see in America, it's not just stupidity, it's influenced by demonic activity. As certainly as there is a Holy Spirit, there are unholy spirits. I want to tell you, there's a misconception, a notion, that since evil has such a grip on this world, because there's been so many inroads into the hearts and minds of human, there's a misconceived notion that evil is almost equal in force to good. There's this misconception that in this fierce struggle with good, good's just barely surviving, that God just barely has the edge over Satan. I want you to know, it may appear that way, but it's not true. God has ultimate and complete control over every evil spirit and over Satan himself. He is Jehovah Sabaoth, even over the world of darkness. Oh, come on. Greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. You say, why does it look like evil is winning? Because God, in his wisdom to facilitate the free choice of humans, God, for a short period of time, has given Satan a limited domain to work in. He's done that in his wisdom. It's kind of like this. There's this little rogue nation. A dictator arises and begins to support terrorism. Anytime America wanted to, it could bomb the daylights out of that country, drop a nuclear bomb, destroy that country. Whether you agree with it or not, sometimes America doesn't take that stance. They take the stance of containment, seal that country up financially, militarily, geographically, let things work out in that own country, let people make their choice whether they're going to support the dictator or rise up against it. America does that knowing that anytime she sees it, it's the time. Anytime she wants to, she could march into that country and dominate it. I want you to know, in God's wisdom, because we have a free choice, he's given Satan a short time to work. But you've got to understand something. Satan works under containment. He can go this far and no further. I said, you don't believe that? If you're born again, washed in the blood, he can't cross that bloodline. He cannot. Amen. I said, Satan, you can go this far. He's under containment. God knows at any time that's the time, or any time he desires, God can immediately, and it's not a contest, that is really close. God is in control. He is Jehovah Sabaoth, even over the dark powers of evil. How do you know that? Satan wants to get at Job. But Satan has to do two things. Number one, he has to appear before God. God's still on the throne, and Satan has to come in obeisance to God. He doesn't want to admit it, but he's still controlled by God. Number two, before Satan could ever tempt Job, he had to get permission from God. I know Satan may be giving you a hard time. It's because God gave him permission, knowing that he's going to give you the victory, knowing that he is fighting on your side. Oh, come on, church. I said, he's the Lord of ever dark power. I know the demons come. They seek to destroy. They are aligned against us. Paul said in Ephesians, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high place. Yes, we're doing battle. If you don't sense the battle, you've lain down somewhere and quit. If you're here, you're a believer, you're trying to serve God, you're in a battle. Look at what's against us. But never forget, as you do battle, he is Jehovah Sabaoth. He's in control of the dark power. Oh, come on, hallelujah. Jesus came in the flesh. That hid him. Hid the fact that he was God from most men. But Jesus go in the synagogue and there'd be somebody there with demons in them. And it could not be hid from the demons. If you got the scripture, put it up there. Jesus walked in. He looked like a carpenter to everybody else. Just a man with calluses on his hand. But when a demon was there, they recognized him. We know who thou art. You know what they were saying, Brother Bill? There's Jehovah. So there's our commander. He's still in control. He doesn't tell them to do evil. He's allowing them to do it. But he's still in control. You talk about undercover boss with the cover blown. The demons knew who he was. And when the first thing he told them was, be quiet. Oh, hallelujah. I said, he's in control. You don't believe he's in control? Show me one time he told one of those demons to come out and they didn't do it. Amen. You don't believe he's in control? Then how come when they were going to come out of that demoniac at the Gadareans, they had to ask permission to go into the swine instead of immediately being cast into the abyss? Amen. He's in control. Yeah. I know it may be late, but we've delivered our church from the clock on the back wall. We're free. Free at last. Thank God Almighty. We're free at last. So don't look at your watch and don't do this number at me. Because I want to tell you, as real as angels are, so are demons. And in this place, there have been demons in some form or influence or the other that have pestered God's people, come against God's people, fought against God's people. And Satan would like us to despair, to think we're fighting a losing battle. We're going to be defeated and overcome. I want you to remember one thing. I don't know how long the battle will go on, but you remember one thing. Ultimately, Jehovah Sabaoth, he is in charge. He is the Lord of hosts, even of demonic hordes. Oh, hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Who are the hosts? They are the masses of humanity, believers and unbelievers. God has controlled the rise and fall of ever human empire, ever emperor, he's raised up one king. He's put down another. Read your Old Testament. God used even pagan kings to either judge or to help his own people. He's in control. He was in control when Persia was here, when Greece was in power, when Rome was in power. He was in charge when Hitler rose in the Europe. Amen. He is in charge of the host of humanity, the masses of people, all the nations. They make choices against righteousness, against God, against truth. Their Supreme Court says the word of God is void and what they think is right. But you remember, regardless of the choices men make, regardless of the things they do against God and righteousness, God is in control. God has a larger blueprint. He raises up one, he sits down the other. Oh, hallelujah, what are you saying? Everything that's happening in our world is within the preset perimeters of the plan and the will of God to save man and bring. Praise God. Get me a battery. I can't stand a leash. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. How many still with me? Oh, thank God for a two church or two battery church. I can't do this. I want to tell you, he's in control.
Amen. Amen.
Oh, you know what I'm thinking right now? You see different nations come to power. You see different men come. You know what I'm thinking? I'm thinking of a song we like to sing. All the kingdoms of this world shall soon before him fall.
Amen.
But we shall see the King.
Amen.
When he comes. You know what I just said? We shall see Jehovah Sabaoth.
Amen.
Those kingdoms, thank you, they're rising, they're falling. Amen. But we're still going to see the King when he comes. I want to ask you something. Do you know anyone that serves Nero today? Come on, tell me. Do you know anyone that serves Charlemagne today? Genghis Khan? Anyone know anyone that serves? Does anyone know anyone that serves Hitler today? Do you know? Mussolini? I want to ask you something. How many know somebody that serves the Lord Jesus Christ?
Amen.
Tell me who's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Oh, hallelujah! You say, I'm worried who's going to be elected president. Well, I am to a certain degree as a citizen, but when it's all said and done, I'm not worried who's going to be president, because he is Jehovah Sabaoth. He is the Lord of the host of humanity. Oh, hallelujah. One more thing. Who are the... Oh, no. Just one more thing. The host are his people. Even he led Israel out of Egypt. They were unarmed. They were undisciplined. They were unorganized. But yet, as I read to you, they were still called the host of Jehovah. I want to tell you, I wish I could preach here. Well, I can't. I've got to bring this together to a close. But I want to tell you, as much as Israel was God's host then, the church is his host now. We are his host. Did you know the church used to be seen in militant terms? We taught it to our kids in Sunday school. I'm in the Lord's army. And I found lately, I don't know what they're teaching them now. Amen. But we used to teach them, I'm in the Lord's army. I'm in, you know what? We used to sing even in church, Sister Karen. God's got an army marching through the land. Deliverance is her song and healing in her hand. And in this army, I've got a apart. You know, the church has become something else in so many cases. And I don't mean to be crude, but it's come to a place where you can listen to your kind of music as you get a spiritual massage on your conscience, even though you're not living the way God wants you to live. That's what the church has come. Come and sit back in your seat and let's lower the lights like a theater and put on a production where people can be entertained. That's not the church. We are the army of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah. We're not here for feel good. We have an enemy. We're a part of an army to rescue the souls of men. And our commander is Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. We have gathered to worship, work, and war. I'm going to bring this together in just a few moments. Thank you for your patience. We need to hear about Jehovah Sabaoth. What's the sermon to take with you? First of all, the Lord is not our servant, but our commander. I challenge you. I said I wouldn't preach, but I challenge you. Listen to religious stuff today. They've made God a big old genie servant. Even church has become that. God's here to meet, he does meet our needs, but it's the way we look at him. God's here to meet my needs, pat me on the back, make me feel good, give me a better job, and thank God he's involved in so many ways. But I want you to know, God is not our servant, he's our commander. Are you marching in his army? Are you following his orders? Are you following his leadership? I told you I'd be short. So number two, let's take it with us, that the Lord of hosts is always leading the host. He's out in front. Psalm 46, the heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. I said the Lord of hosts is with us, and the God of Jacob is our refuge. Amen. I know it's dangerous to use Civil War illustrations anymore, but I've been reading about Stonewall Jackson lately. Amen. Let me tell you something. On the northern side was the general of generals, George McClellan. I mean, he could organize an army, but he couldn't use it to fight. Amen. President Lincoln said, McClellan's got the slows. Amen. Never could get him to engage in battle. He's got the slows. I love that. Amen. President Lincoln said, if McClellan isn't going to use that army, I wish he'd let me borrow it a little bit. Amen. But I want you to know, McClellan marched against Richmond, had Richmond sold up, had twice as many men as Lee did with the Confederates. And yet McClellan became convinced that Lee had twice as many men as he did. That's all he ever said. I need more men. I mean, that, you know, I've already been there. But the enemy would like us to think there's twice as many of them than there are of us. But it's not true. And McClellan wouldn't fight. But Lee did. And Lee, with just a meager force, came against McClellan. You know what McClellan did? He fought for the day and backed up. Second day, McClellan fought for a day, backed up, retreated. Fought for a day, backed up. 7 days. Really, the Union was getting the better of the Confederates. But McClellan kept retreating. 7 days. But on one of those days with the fiercest of battles going on, where was McClellan? He knew the battle was going on, but the general of all the generals had went out on James River with one of his friends who was captain of a riverboat, and he was eating a fine dinner and drinking wine while his men were fighting and dying. On the other hand, where was Stonewall Jackson? Amen. Major generals are supposed to be in the background, but he got on his horse and he rode out front. Artillery shells are bursting, shrapnel everywhere, bullets are flying, but Jackson is on his horse riding back and forth across the front line, encouraged his men. Days later at the Battle of Cedar Hill, the Union had flanked the Confederates on their left, and the Confederates were retreating. Jackson, the major general, he rode his horse. He tried to pull his saber. It was rusted, so he broke his saber left, loose scabbard and all, raised it with one hand, grabbed a flag with the other, began to yell at his men, "Come on! We can do it! We can do it!" And led the retreating men back into battle. I want to tell you, we are in a battle. But our general, the Lord Sabaoth, he's not having a party somewhere. He's not disengaged. He's at the front line. If you look belt. He's lifted up the standard. He's raised the sword. Amen. I believe I can follow a general like that. He is the Lord of hosts. He is with us. Amen. One more thing and I'll quit. Amen. Take this home. As the commander of the army, he has never, ever lost a battle. Even on Calvary, the battle of battles, when the demons of darkness thought they had won, he led captivity captive and he conquered every evil. Our commander has never lost a battle. When we say Jehovah Sabaoth, another way to say it is head. Ephesians 1:22. He has put all things under his feet, Jesus. Gave him to be the head over all things to the church. Verse 23, which is his body. Matthew 6:18. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Who is our Jehovah Sabaoth? It is the head of the church. It is Jesus Christ. I'll build my church upon this rock, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. You know what that says? And I know you can make it mean a lot of things, but amen, if the gates shall not prevail, that means we are not on the defensive. It's not that we're on the run from the enemy, barely holding our own. If the gates shall not prevail, that means we're on the offensive. I tell you, it's time for some of you individually and as families to go on the offense. Hallelujah. Oh, come on. The gates of hell shall not prevail. He is the head. He is Jehovah Sabaoth. Amen. I described that period when McClellan kept backing off, kept retreating. Amen. 7 days. Superior force. You know what his official report to Lincoln and the Secretary of War Stanton was? He never said we were retreating or withdrawing. He said we've been changing bases. It became a joke. Retreat is, hallelujah. And we know some people have resolved themselves that all we're going to do is retreat till we get to heaven, and then one day we'll change bases from earth to heaven. Listen, it's not getting to heaven. It's not changing bases. You don't get there by backing up. I want to tell you, storm the gates of hell. Hallelujah. I said, when we go into heaven, it's not as a defeated, retreating army. We're going to march in. Hallelujah. Victorious. It's a glorious charge. It's a victorious church. Hallelujah. Oh, change your mentality. Come music. Hallelujah. I'd hate to be boring you, but I got to tell you one more thing. Can I? Before Jackson came to fame in the Shenandoah Valley, he had been a bumbling military institution teacher, very religious man, prayed every morning, fell asleep in every sermon. There's hope for folks. But something happened when they put him in charge, Brother Bill. But he was merciless. He would go on these long marches overnight, faster than any army had ever moved. He would make men march. They would drop out like flies. But in a night, he would cover 35 miles. Never happened before. And at first, those men, they murmured and complained. But what Jackson was doing, while the enemy slept, he was marching. And when they woke up, they thought Jackson was 35 miles away, and he's in their back door. Amen. And they'd win a victory. Amen. They went on another march. The men complained. But guess what? Once again, victory. After about 5 or 6, did you know with small forces, he destroyed whole armies? Did you know after several times of forced marches and victory, guess what? The men quit complaining. It was hard. They still were without food or supplies, shoes, marched till their feet were bloody, but they quit complaining. You know why? Because they knew, Brother John, if they followed that leader into battle, no matter how hard it got on the way, there's going to be victory. Oh, come on, church. I'm not here to get anybody. But we've reached a time that even believers are complaining about how hard it is, how hard the battle is. We need to realize something. It does get hard. And sometimes it gets rough. But we need to realize if we're following him, he only leads from victory to victory. Sister Rose, the way may be hard, but you can rest assured if you follow Jehovah Sabaoth, it's victory. It's going to end in victory. How many believes what I'm preaching to you this morning? Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Go ahead and stand. I'm really trying to quit. Hallelujah. I was going to talk about when the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints. I don't have time to talk about that. Let me tell you one more thing. Amen. I've been trying to download this. I tried to find it online. I can't. We were at Bible school. Amen. There was a man named A.N. Trotter, been a great missionary older years. He had a brother-in-law, H.B. Garlock, wrote the book, Before They Kill and Eat You. He'd been in Africa at a time when cannibals still killed folks. And I may not get the facts right. I'm trying to download it from the cobwebby past of my memory. But it's real close to this. He and his wife were out in the bush, amen, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Those cannibals caught them, tied them up, pulled their knives, and the leader yelled, "Take them! Kill them!" Amen. They moved towards the Garlocks with their knives upraised. They shut their eyes. Here they come. And suddenly they noticed that they hadn't got to them. And they looked up, and those nationals were fleeing in fear. There was stark fear upon their faces. The Garlocks were released and kept preaching the gospel. Amen. There came a time where many of those men that fled, amen, they got saved. Amen. Then they gave the testimony. "We came at you intent to kill you, but suddenly there were tall men standing beside you." And I don't remember all the details, but you know what that was. That was the angels of God. Oh, hallelujah. You see, I don't believe that. You would if you believed he's Jehovah Sabaoth. He is the Lord of hosts. Could we not worship him? Because of who you are, we worship you. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I'm not divulging anything, but a prayer request came in from the website. My prayer need is for God's rescue for me and my family from all that the devil is doing against our lives. I've been trusting and fighting through much. We need your prayers. Thank you. Somebody's in a battle that listens online. I hope they're listening this morning. He is Jehovah Sabaoth. There is victory. Follow him. Get in step. I said, get in step. Follow him. Amen. I wrote back and said, the only thing I want to tell you is the word of God is true. And James says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he'll flee. What do we do when we submit to God? We get in step with his army. We march with his army. We follow his. Oh, I preached long enough. Amen. I want you to just come if you needed to know this morning that he is the Lord of hosts in your battle. I want you to come right now, would you? Just become, feel this altar. I need to know it this morning. I need to know that he's in control. I needed to know he is leading this battle. He's at the forefront. He's never lost a battle. I'll follow him. Maybe you're here, you haven't been in step. You haven't been marching with him. Amen. Amen. Look around, find somebody to pray for this morning as the Lord moves on your heart. I needed to know that he's in control. I needed to know that he fights my battles. Oh, hallelujah. Maybe you're here, you've not been in step. You've not been following his leadership. You've not been marching. Amen. Get in step this morning. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, come on this morning. Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts, is with us.
Is always by my side, the one who reigns forever. Hallelujah. He is a friend of Hallelujah. Mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side. I know who goes before me.
Amen. There's those in the altar that need prayer. Look around and find somebody to pray with this
The
morning.
God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side. Nothing formed against me shall stand.
Come on, call upon his name.
You hold the whole world in your to your promises. You
pray
are
not to
faithful. You are faithful. I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side. I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side.
Of you as families need to make a stand. Follow the leadership of Jehovah Sabaoth. We're in a battle, but he leads to victory.
Is always